and cooling today, and we'll be right over.
The weather is brought to you by MyFWC.com. Life jacket save lives. Wear it, Florida. A cool start today, otherwise nice, with ample sunshine. High 74 to 78. A moonlit sky tonight, low 55 to 59 degrees. Tomorrow's sunshine will mix with some clouds, a high of 76 to 82. And on your Sunday, breezy with clouds limiting sunshine, high 77 to 84. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dan DePodwin.
This report brought to you by Florida Department of Transportation, alerttodayflorida.com. In Florida, one in every four traffic fatalities involve a pedestrian. Drivers, stop or yield for pedestrians and bicyclists. Pedestrians, always use a crosswalk. Bicyclists, obey all traffic laws. Alert today, alive tomorrow. A message from the Florida Department of Transportation.
Jointly speaking, Tuesday mornings at 11:05. Enjoy a little chit-chat with your host, Barb Carley, and a panel of professionals from our community, along with the Q&A call-in segment. Jointly Speaking, sponsored by the Arthritis Foundation and Davis Orthopedic Clinic. Tuesday mornings at 11:05 on News Radio 1580 WCCF.
WCCF, News Radio 1580.
Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, please call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. We have a special guest today that we're going to have on the phone. Do you want to go ahead? Is she on the phone now? No? Well, you know, we're all new at this, and it's so much fun. We're going to be having Amy Donine, who is the co-author of Beat the Heart Attack Gene. Hello, Amy. Good morning, Amy. And we are... very excited.
We're working on getting her right now.
Yeah, we're working on getting her right now.
You have dialed an invalid account.
Okay, we're working on it.
It's 509.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we are very excited because Amy Donine is co-author with Dr. Brad Bale of Beat the Heart Attack Gene. As everyone knows, we've been talking about this wonderful book. And we are getting her on the phone right now?
Very shortly.
Very shortly here.
Just dialed the number, and we're working on that.
And we are excited because she is in Spokane, Washington.
Spokane, Washington. That's beautiful there. That book is so incredible. I just saw this on my Kindle, and I'm actually going to go home and download this today. I can't wait to read this book.
It's a fabulous book, and we've been speaking about it because it's going to change your life. It's going to save your life if you read this book.
Just listening to this part of it here, I actually have to hear so that when I dial.
Okay.
That's line one. There's line two. Okay, I'm going to just go down a little bit.
Okay, and we are calling her. And, you know, we depend on these technical things, but it's going to be fine.
Okay, we should be getting her very shortly. Here we go.
Hi, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy. This is Dr. Triana calling from Florida. How are you doing?
Well, I'm good, Dr. Triana. How are you?
Amy, I have been telling my radio audience, as you know, this is the show called The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, and I have been speaking about my mentors, my preceptors, you, Amy Donine, and Brad Bale, who have inspired me, and I've been talking to my audience about your incredible book.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I'll tell you, it's an honor to be on your show. We have been so impressed by what you've been doing on your end to promote prevention, and it's truly an honor to be on your show. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. And I want to introduce Amy. We had a little technical difficulty, but Amy is a world-renowned cardiovascular specialist who is owner and medical director of the Heart Attack and Stroke Prevention Center in Spokane, Washington. Now, this is a live talk radio show, so if anybody wants to call in, the number is 941-206-1580. She is co-author of a book called Beat the Heart Attack Gene, which just came out, right, February?
It did. It came out on February 4th, and we've had a great response. We're number one on Amazon, and we are on our second running, our second print. So and this book is written to the public, Dr. Triana, which is great because we wanted to get this message in the hands of the people who need it most, and that's your listening audience.
I know. It's a fantastic book. And, of course, Amy, we've been friends. I've known you for a long time. You've been my teacher. What inspired you to go into this field of cardiovascular disease?
Well, what was the inspiration really was the, I have to say, kind of the apathy of the medical system, 15 years ago, where the current medical system, it was then and it remains now, based on a risk factor paradigm. And the name of your show is The Slippery Slope of Lipids, and we could broaden that and say The Slippery Slope of Medicine.
That's cute.
in a way, because the way cardiovascular disease prevention is set up in the current standard of care, it's a end stage disease platform. What that means is we treat people after the fact. So once people have a heart attack, once people have a stroke, once people get diabetes, we throw all kinds of resources at them. And so what we did clinically about 12, 13, even 15 years ago, my colleague Brad Bale's actually been at this a lot longer than I have, we thought we can do this differently. We can look at a situation and say, can we look beyond just risk factors? Can we treat people differently? And that's what we started to do. And as we started to fine-tune what we were doing clinically, we realized that we had a different way of doing this that was really absorbable and tangible in the clinical arena.
Well, in fact, I know you and Brad Bale have pioneered the Bale-Donin method, which is just incredible, and you've been going all over the country teaching other healthcare providers. Could you tell me about your method?
Sure. So our method is a way, is an architecture, really, a way to assess an individual patient for the presence of vascular disease. What your listeners need to understand, and I know you've told them about this because you're so clinically grounded in it as well, vascular disease is silent. We don't feel it. We can't tell that it's coming on until we have a problem. So what we've done is provide information on how to find that disease that hides in the artery wall. And we talk about that in our book. What are some non-invasive tests that your listeners can ask their provider for, their physician, their nurse practitioner? What can they ask for to say, do I have plaque, fatty streaks, inflammation in the walls of my artery? And then what we do is we say, well, let's ask why we have it. There's certain root causes, Dr. Triana, that cause plaque development in our arteries, and lipids are one of many, many, many causes. Things that people don't realize are things like periodontal disease, insulin resistance, psychosocial issues, lack of sleep, all of these issues that need to be addressed clinically and often are missed, and that's the hard part. So our method is really a way for which we can, one, find disease in an asymptomatic patient.
Correct.
Before they feel it. Number two, assess for the inflammation in the artery wall. And number three, find out why it's there. And then, lo and behold, if we treat the why, we see the inflammation go down and we see the disease stabilize. And that's really the Bale-Donin method, which is very different than the standard of care, which is based on risk factors.
And I love the way in your book you compare. Listen, everyone, this book is fantastic because I've been recommending it to all my patients. And it's, I tell my patients, Amy, that it's understandable. You don't need to be in the healthcare field to understand the very important concepts.
Thank you. Yeah, we really are proud of the fact that we wrote this book. It has, it's evidence-based, it's scientifically grounded, but it's written in a format, and we wrote it with Lisa Collier-Cool, who's a health writer.
Yes.
She's not in medicine, but what Lisa did, and it's so important, she interviewed our patients, our active patients. So if we're talking about a condition, perhaps one that I just mentioned, like let's say periodontal disease or insulin resistance, we would allow Lisa to interview a patient who had that issue. And so as we talk about a certain issue like that, we tell the story through a real patient encounter. And so as people read this book, they'll think, wow, that could be me, or perhaps that is me. And then in the back of the book, the last 58 pages are all the references. So when a healthcare consumer reads this and they think, wow, I really want that test, I need that test, they don't have to feel vulnerable. They can go into their healthcare provider, copy off the last, or actually get a book for their healthcare provider and say, I want this test. Here's all the evidence. Here's the research. I want this test. And so the book not only is readable, but it's got the scientific evidence there to back up the patient who's asking for the individual test.
And the other thing I really like about your book, too, is that when you introduce these 25 questions, the test, are you at risk? Most people don't even, they don't think about that.
Right, they don't. I mean, some of the things that people don't think about are, you know, things that you and I may think about all the time, but the public often doesn't get word of it, whether it be sleep patterns, whether it be bleeding gums, our waistlines that can grow, our sedentary lifestyle, those types of things that are so important because they have a direct impact on our cardiovascular risk, for sure.
And the way you, in the book you have, not only do you present real patients, I just love the Superman, a young lady named Camille. These are real life people. And when you talk about, for example, and I had a whole program on this, many people, it's the, I feel good. I don't need to see a doctor. I don't need to get checked. I say, you might feel good, but are you really good inside?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a great statement because, as I mentioned earlier in your program, that this disease is smart. It hides in the wall of the artery. So we, as humans, don't feel it. It hides there. So we can feel good. That's why your athlete, your triathlete, your marathoner goes out and has no idea that they're about to have a massive heart attack or a stroke. And so what we do is we're investigators, right? So it's right. Our job clinically to find it. And it can be found. And once we find it, it's not a negative discovery. It's a positive. Let's find this so we can do something about it. Because the other option is just to wait and hope nothing happens. But the reality is 50% of people who die suddenly of a heart attack have no idea that they even had plaque in the artery wall.
Correct.
And that's terrible. That's terrible. And it doesn't have to be that way.
I know. When you hear the word, if I tell somebody you have a 50% chance of winning the lottery, they'd be very excited, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
No, think
that's
about
terrific.
It. I tell my patients, I would take those odds. Now, wait a minute. You have a 50% chance of dying of the number one killer of men and women in this world? Don't you want to do something to prevent that?
Yeah, Betsy, that's great. I love that. Perfect analogy.
I mean,
that's great.
It just seems so simple. And what I love about you and Brad is that you have, both of you, I don't know where you get your energy from, but I know you are a teacher, a mother, a wife, and she's a runner. And you do marathons, and you write a book, and you're always constantly traveling all over the world. Really, how do you do it?
Well, I'll tell you, I love, this is so fun for me, and I know it's fun for you too. And if you have a passion, then it's very hard to call it work, right? So
right.
To me, it's a passion, and I learn every day. The more I learn about this disease state, the more I want to learn, and the more I realize I don't know. So I'm a constant student, that's for sure, and I simply am sharing the information that I've learned along the way with others, and I've had a lot of fortunate opportunities along that journey, but I tell you, I'm learning every day, and I feel real blessed about that.
That's really great. I know. It makes life so much fun when you're learning, and it is a wonderful experience. That's why I do this radio show, because I love to bring information to the general public, to my patients, that simple things that they could do, like a simple thing and a wonderful thing, is read this book so people can understand that there is so much that can be done. And it's, you know, it's so much that can be done and understandable. And I even like the little cartoons. They're great.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we hired a cartoonist. His name is Moss Friedman. He's excellent, and he's out of Manhattan, New York area, rather. And he has done a wonderful job. As we sit and explain these concepts to him, he's able to create these cartoons that simplify a very complex idea, and it makes it very tangible. When we talk about the root causes of vascular disease, what are the causes of vascular disease? As we were explaining this to him, and we thought, gosh, there's so many, Moss. We want people to understand that. And if anyone has one of these root causes, it can create inflammation in the walls of the artery. And as we were explaining this to him and we were talking about a tree idea, he was able to draw this out for us, and it really made it tangible, which is great. And so once people understand their participation in this process, they will then begin to say, I want the proper lab testing to know, do I have any of these root causes? And part of the concern right now for everybody, and I fully respect it, is what? Medical cost, right? So
yes.
Everyone would look at a book like this and say, well, you know, it's got a DNA helix on it. This is going to be too expensive. I don't want to do this type of testing. What people need to understand is that a heart attack costs about $500,000 when you consider job loss, hospitalization.
If you survive.
You will be left with a change in your body forever.
Right.
And these tests are pennies on the dollar. So, and a genetic test lasts forever. You do it once. And the information gained from that has lifelong implications, not only for you, but your children and your siblings, certainly. So the information is really terrific. And when you look at going back to the root cause idea, once we figure out what root causes you're dealing with, the neat thing is they're all treatable. It's not like we find something and go, well, that's the brakes, you know, that's too bad. Once we find it, we can do something about it, and that's the positive message here. So a couple things that people might find surprising as I've
yes.
talked to different people about the book. You know, anything we can do, Dr. Triana, that reduces the inflammation in our body is going to have a positive effect on our stroke and heart attack risk. So
mm-hmm.
things like flossing twice a day instead of, you know, three times a week or something, people seem to forget about the value of flossing, is an imperative and an extremely cheap insurance policy. You can buy a thing of floss for 99 cents. You do that twice a day, that's going to lower your heart attack risk. Using a ultrasonic toothbrush of some kind, whether it be an Oral-B or a Sonicare, is going to lower your heart attack risk. Visiting your dentist every 3 months instead of every year is going to lower your heart attack risk. Exercising 22 minutes a day is going to lower your risk. You don't have to be a marathoner if you don't want to be, and perhaps that's not even good for a lot of people. So 22 minutes a day has value. Getting at least 6 hours of good sleep per night is a value. Less than 6 hours quadruples your risk of becoming diabetic. Getting one more, just to think about, getting your shingles vaccine. If if someone was to get shingles, the virus itself, your risk of a stroke goes up 31% within that first year of getting shingles. If the shingles outbreak happens to hit the ophthalmic nerve of the eye, your risk of a stroke goes up 4.52-fold within 1 year. So getting your proper vaccinations.
These are simple things.
Simple things. And so we talk about that in the book. And so really people need to understand these are action items we're talking about here. And it's not just your run-of-the-mill, eat your vegetables, exercise. It's real, tangible, do-it things. Even, and you'll appreciate this one as much as I do, eating dark chocolate every day. that makes a difference as well. So it's really an action-oriented book.
So how did you get the name? How did you come up with Beat the Heart Attack Gene? Because I do want to talk about later in the program about these different genes tests, but how did you come up with this?
Well, we thought a lot about it because we wanted to separate ourselves from just a lifestyle book, and I don't mean just, meaning those have incredible value. I'm not minimizing the impact at all, but we wanted to separate ourselves so people understood that this was a scientific book written to the public. So what we know is that really vascular disease is a genetic issue. 50% of individuals carry the genes for cardiovascular risk. And we wanted to let people also know by using the word beat. It was a play on words, obviously. The heart beats every day. But we wanted people to know that they could beat their genetic risk by action items, that some of those we just talked about. So that was kind of the rationale there. And then also, you know, Larry King wrote the foreword of our book, and, he's been a fan of our method because his good friend and colleague Tim Russert, as many of us remember, died suddenly and unexpectedly of a cardiovascular event while he was at work. Unfortunately, Tim Russert had a full, you know, physical a couple months before he dropped dead of a heart attack.
Oh.
And this is of no pointing fingers at his individual clinicians. This is a pointing finger at the system. The system gave him clearance. The system said, let's do a stress test. The system said, let's check your cholesterol. And the system said, you are fine. The system let him down. And the reality is, I believe that if Tim Russert, and I will never know, this is my thought process, that if Tim Russert had had the workup we talked about in this book, that he would have been picked up, that he would have, and Larry King believes the same thing. He believes that if Tim Russert had had his inflammatory markers checked, if he would have had some non-invasive testing to measure the quality of the disease in his arteries, that it would have been discovered that, gosh, yes, you're being treated for your cholesterol, yes, you're being treated for some other things, but perhaps it's not enough. We need to do more, and we need to find out why you have inflammation still in the walls of your arteries. And we could have done something for him. And so Larry King's been a huge supporter of what we're doing, and Larry King's done an amazing job with his foundation as well. But anyway, Larry King made a statement in his foreword that says, we should all live as if we carry the heart attack gene.
Of course.
If we all did that, we would make different decisions every day, perhaps. And your lottery analogy is fantastic. I mean, if we think we have risk, we might live differently, and we might make different health choices. So that was the meaning behind the name. We wanted to separate ourselves, and we wanted to introduce spot on the idea that this is a genetic disease.
Correct. And in fact, at the Triana Prevention Center, we talk about more good years, quality, you know, life. And I even got the book for my mother. I told everybody for Valentine's, get this book. What a better gift. If you really love someone, you get them a book because you want them to be around for a long time.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you for saying that.
That's
wonderful. Yeah, and it is red and white. Valentine's would look best.
I look good in red. You know, I think that when you were talking about the system, could you expound more about this? You know, it's hard to explain to people sometimes as like one of your patients in the book, they come in, they say, I exercise, I eat right, I'm not overweight, I don't smoke, I'm not a diabetic. And according to the standard of care, I'm great.
Right, right.
Talk about the standard of care.
Right. So the standard of care is a term that's utilized for physicians and healthcare providers really to protect the healthcare provider. Meaning, if I follow the standard of care, I am legally doing my job. I am legally keeping your blood pressure at a level that is legally acceptable, meaning if I treat you to that level, I won't, and something happens to you, I won't be pulled into court. Legally, the standard of care protects me that I'm supposed to keep your lipids at a certain level, and I'm to counsel you that they're either out of range or in range. That's what the standard of care is, as simple as that. And so guidelines are created based on that standard of care. And here's the reality. Standard of care does not keep someone from having an event. It
right.
does not keep somebody from having or getting diabetes. Standard of care guidelines that are given, it's based on something called epidemiology. So it's kind of good enough for everyone, good enough to get by in a way.
Cookie cutter medicine.
Right, right. And right now the healthcare system, and this is of no defense, is taxed. People come in, tax meaning providers have a limited amount of time with people, and anybody going into a standard medical practice feels this stress. You go in, you have a few minutes with your provider, and out the door you go. And what they're given are tools to aid in the speed of delivery of medicine. So they're given what are called screening guidelines or screening tools. And in our book, Camille, you mentioned Camille.
Yes.
She's a prime example of this. So at 42 years old, she goes into her doctor's office, and she thought it was really quite fancy at the time because he had a fancy iPad, and that was kind of neat. And he took her age, her gender, her smoking status, which she was not a smoker, took her total cholesterol, her good cholesterol, her systolic blood pressure, which is the top number, threw it all into a calculation and said, Camille, you have a less than 1% chance of having a heart attack over the next 10 years. And so she thought, well, fantastic. That's great. That's great. And so off she goes. And shortly after that, she starts having this horrible symptom that she had no idea what it was. She thought it was crushing anxiety. And through her head, she thought, well, God, I've never had a heart attack before, but, man, it must feel like this. This is terrible. But I can't be having a heart attack because I have a less than 1% chance of having one over the next 10 years. I just found out that information. So she sat at her office, Dr. Triana, second-guessed herself for hours, thinking, I was just told I could not have a heart attack based on that standard of care guideline. And so she sat there and she sat there and she sat there, and finally the pain was so severe that her husband took her in. She goes in, they put her finger in a pulse oximeter. They say, well, you have plenty of oxygen. Go wait in the waiting room. She was told to wait in the waiting room, and they took back someone who needs stitches. I mean, literally, she's dismissed in the ER as well. So she almost left there because she thought, well, I'm taking up space and I shouldn't. Clearly, this must just be anxiety. Finally, she's taken back, and they realize, oh, my gosh, you are having a heart attack. And, boom, the rest was like this, you know, fast and furious thing. And the only thing they told her when she left the hospital was, next time this happens, Camille, you get in here quicker. You don't wait so long. Scolding her almost. And she said, well, wait, I don't want this to happen again. I don't want this to happen again. What can I do? And they said, well, you know, I don't know, but take these medications, and if it happens again, just don't wait so long. And that was it. That was it. This poor 42-year-old woman with a 7-year-old son leaves confused, scared, has no idea what happened, And anyway, that's when we had the fortunate opportunity to meet her clinically and clearly found out what her risks were by doing some simple lab tests and looking beyond just cholesterol, because her cholesterol was good before. It was good now. So it was beyond that. It was beyond that to find out what was driving her disease. So now I am happy to report to everyone that Camille is 10 years post-heart attack. She's
wow.
never had another one. She has run 2 half marathons now. She's
oh
doing
my goodness.
Fantastic. And her son Cameron is now graduating high school and is a phenomenal musician. So Camille will live a very healthy life, but she wouldn't have, I argue she would not have, if the standard of care was left to treat her. I do not believe she would have.
And as you say in your book, and I tell patients too, like, would you rather have a C or an A? Would you want A care or C care? Well, the Bale-Dohnine method is A-plus care. And you know, you have to, I explain these to the patients and let them know, why is it A-plus care? Because you are. You're looking for the cause, the how and the why.
Perfect. Yeah, that's well said.
You've got, and it's very important. Well, Amy, we're going to take a tiny little break, and
okay.
then we'll come right back. We'll just don't go away, okay?
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A Prevention Center, all one word, .com. To catch up on previous shows, there's an archive going back to the beginning of the show covering a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently, and we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number out in just a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this program, our numbers are 206-1580, that's 941-206-1580, or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Okay, and we're back, and we're very, very excited and honored to be able, I just feel so lucky to have Amy Dohnine here as our guest. She is the co-author of a book, which I tell people this is a life changer. Beat the Heart Attack Gene. You're on board, Amy?
Yes, I'm right here. Thank you.
And I just been telling everyone about it. And her co-author is Dr. Brad Bale, who we're looking forward to in the future also having as our guest.
Wonderful.
And Lisa Collier-Cool, who has been working with you. But the book is incredible. And it's just wonderful. I don't know how you do it all, that you put together this very great book for everyone, so that everyone can understand what is it they can do to change their life. And today we also have Dr. Melvin Katzen, Dr. Katzen, who just came in. Hi, Dr. Katzen.
Hi. Hi, Amy. How you doing?
I am good, thanks. How are you, Dr. Katzen?
I'm fine. I just was listening to your program on the way over. You guys are doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
And as my audience knows, many of the people I know were on a first name basis. So I tell my audience, you know, I'm Betsy, Mel, Amy. We all know each other. And even though my real name is Elizabeth, but that's okay. Anyways, Amy, it's so exciting again to have you here. And this book, I love the way you did the Ed Frog.
Oh, great. Yeah, so Ed Frog is a analogy, basically, that we put together to help understand what the Bale-Dohnine method is. So the E, so it's really ED and then frog.
Right.
Frog name Ed, people can understand that. So the E stands for education. Everything good, Betsy and Mel, that we think, starts with education. So for ourselves, for our patients, and what we talk about education-wise in the book is the understanding of what causes an actual cardiovascular event. So understanding that it's plaque development in the artery wall itself that can, if coupled with inflammation, rupture through that artery wall, and the body's natural response to that is to form a clot. If that clot or thrombus happens to block blood flow in the heart, it's called a heart attack. If the clot happens to block blood flow in the brain, we call it a stroke. Understanding that concept, then, people then start to say, well, gosh, if that's what happens, can I find out if I have plaque in the artery wall before that? And the answer is yes.
Of course.
So then we start to talk about the D, which is disease, how to find that D, how to find the disease. And we talk about non-invasive, very, very cost-effective tests, less than $200 tests that can find out, very life-saving, if you have disease in the wall of the artery. And then the F stands for fire. So we look for fire or inflammation in the artery wall, different levels of inflammation in the artery wall. And then the R, we've talked about this morning, root causes. What are the root causes? Let's lay all the chips on the table. Let's find out why someone has vascular disease or vascular inflammation. The O stands for optimal, and you already said this so well. You are so articulate. The O stands for let's strive for A's. Let's go for the best, right? We all deserve the best. So let's set individualized goals for our unique, wonderful patients. So optimal means individualized, not treating you as if you're the mean of a large population. That's totally unfair. We're all unique, so set unique goals for our patients. And then the G stands for genetics. Let's embrace genetics for two reasons. One, genetics allow us to know our lifetime risk for a certain disease state. I often tell women, look, think about it like breast cancer. If you knew you had the breast cancer gene, wouldn't you get screened often and
yes.
early, right? And that's so accepted. And breast cancer has had a 40-year head start on us. If you knew you had the heart attack gene, wouldn't you get screened early and often? And the answer is, of course you would. You have a 10 times more increased risk of getting heart disease than breast cancer. 50% of women carry this gene, 50%. So find out if you have it and get screened early and get screened often. So that's one value of genetics. The other value of genetics is pharmacogenetics, meaning we can set treatment decisions based on genetic understanding, even lifestyle, Betsy.
Diet.
How am I going to tell you what to eat if I don't know genetically how you're going to break that down?
Right.
Which statin am I going to choose? What medication am I going to choose? And knowing your genetic backdrop is how we make that information. So that's what EdFrog stands for.
And it's so well put and explained in the book, so the patients can look at each section and make an action plan, which is what you do. I think the important part of the book, too, Amy, is that there is so much benefit, and even in patients who've already had strokes and heart attacks. You talk mm-hmm. about patients like that in your book who've had bypass surgery, who somebody said, well, we fixed your plumbing, go home.
Right. And you and Mel have experienced this so often with patients that you've had the opportunity to then turn this around with as well. Recidivism.
Amy, we have a caller. Excuse me.
Oh.
Hello? Caller?
Yes. I'd like to talk to Dr. Triana.
Yes. Can Amy hear?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes.
I want to tell Amy that my daughter, Betsy Triana, gave me a copy of your book.
Can Amy hear that?
I believe so.
Oh, I don't know if she heard that. Okay. Amy, are you there? I think you hung up on Amy.
Okay. I locked her in and we locked. Okay, we'll redial.
Okay, fine. The phone number, we are... All right, let's, hello?
I'm here, this is Amy.
There
yeah,
we
Amy,
go.
Amy, we're having, I just wanted to let you know, my mother just called, thank you, Mom, and said, Amy, my daughter gave me a copy of the book.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
She said, anyways, oh, geez, that's really great.
That is great.
I told you, for Valentine's, I told everybody, Don't get flowers. Get the book.
Yeah, it'll last longer for sure.
And make a better benefit. Yes. But I think what I was talking about was the fact that you offer, even with patients that you talk about in your book, with severe disease, the hope that they can still continue to live productive lives.
Yeah, right. So what people deal with who've had a heart attack or a stroke before is what we call recidivism, repeat events, and that's a huge problem. So sometimes people have a heart attack or a stroke, and they're getting standard of care treatment. They're on a statin, perhaps they're on a blood pressure medicine, and it happens again. And they think, my gosh, what am I doing wrong? And then it happens again. And unfortunately, 50% of people who have a second or third heart attack, 50% of those events are fatal, and it's a very scary reality. What we've learned over the years is that if we step back and ask ourselves the question, why did you have your first one? What really drove that disease state? We can stop the disease in its tracks, and it's not a wonderment. We can follow, we can observe the disease, we can know that it's stopping, and so we can stop the events, we can stop the repeat action of this disease. And when we talk about living well, one point I want to bring up, because we've talked about a lot of things around heart attack and strokes, the diseases of aging that affect us that are really scary, like microvessel dementia,
yes,
peripheral arterial disease, micro kidney disease, eye diseases, vision changes. A lot of those, Betsy, are driven by the same process we're talking about, but it's that these blockages occur in little tiny, tiny, tiny arteries. And the sad thing is we don't know what's happening until it's happened for so long we no longer feel our toes. It's happened for so long we're not remembering our grocery list. It's happened for so long men can't get erections anymore. It's happened for so long our kidney functions are going down. And so if we do proper prevention now, we can prevent those issues later as well, because we're stopping the disease state in the big arteries and we're stopping the disease in the little arteries as well.
Yes, and that brings me, you know, Mel's a radiologist and he sees a lot of disease and reports it. Talk about that.
Well, yes, I mean, it's one thing to be able to see the disease and then to report it, but the receiver on the other end, our medical colleagues have also got to be up on what the meaning is of what we're trying to tell them. And specifically, we had a case last week where a patient had an ulcerated plaque in the carotid.
Wow.
With about 40% stenosis, but it was really a very typical ulcerated plaque. And there was a dissection within the plaque as well. And we sent the patient to the hospital. They had a CTA, and the CTA was reported as normal. But when I looked at the CTA later, the ulcer was right there. So, and people aren't. We all need to keep learning to pay attention to these. How can I say it? These red flags as they come along.
Those cat in the gutter.
Yeah, right. The cat in the gutter. And Mel, you're a real prize, because you as a radiologist are bringing attention to issues that a lot of radiologists, it's not in their standard protocol to mention those things sometimes. And the fact that you bring that up and point that out is so valuable. We've even, you know, we educate providers to look through the chart, look for little clues for arterial disease. So what I want patients to understand is it's not a normal stage of aging to have plaque in any artery. It's not. It's very common, I will say that. It's the most common disease we have in this country. It's the most common cause of death and disability in this country. But it's never normal, and it's not a normal stage of aging. So even on a, let's say, a mammogram report, sometimes you can look at a mammogram report and you can see the words, if the radiologist is kind enough to mention it on the report, microvessel calcifications in the mammary artery. That's atherosclerosis. That's plaque in the artery. And I'm not talking calcification in the breast tissue. That's different. I'm talking about calcification in the artery itself. That's vascular disease, and that woman needs to be told that so she can then move to the next step, which is finding out why it's there.
Well, that's right. And when I read the mammograms, if there's any calcification in the vessels, I'll always say that this is a sign of diffuse arteriosclerosis, because it is diffuse.
And I think that's the myth that we, and with this book, you are busting. People think, I had a heart cath, I only have 30% blockage. Or, you know, or I have plaque. Doesn't everybody have plaque? And I explain in this book, that is, you have vascular disease.
Right, right. Disease is disease. And the statement that I've said for so many years is, you're not a little bit pregnant. You either are or you aren't. You either have disease or you don't. And the littlest amount of disease can cause the biggest problem. So what people need to understand, it's really the subsequent blockage or thrombus that blocks the flow of blood. So even, you know, if you have a test that looks at the opening or the lumen or the hole of the artery, and the job of that test is to tell you the percentage of narrowing, and people will hear those things like what you just said, Betsy. I have a 30% narrowing here, or a 60% narrowing here. Oh my gosh, I have a 90% narrowing here. I need to get a stent or whatever. The reality is, if we get a stent in that area that is blocked, we've repaired, let's say, 2 inches of a 60,000-mile vessel system.
Yes.
So the job then is to step back and say, this is a systemic disease we have here. Let's medically find out why you have a systemic disease, and let's treat it. Let's treat it. So think about it like a rash. If you have a rash all over your body, and there's one area of the rash that's open, like a sore, and you have to put a Band-Aid on that and maybe even put a little ointment on that spot, you fix that spot. But you didn't cure the rash. You didn't figure out why you have a rash. You didn't figure out what you're allergic to. You didn't figure out what you rubbed up against. You didn't figure out what your trigger was for that rash. Atherosclerosis is the same thing. If someone gets a stent or even a bypass graft, you still have vascular disease from head to toe that needs to be treated properly.
Correct. And I think it's very important that when in your book you bring out, too, that 70% of people who have atherosclerosis have insulin resistance.
Right, right. Insulin resistance is, without a doubt, the most common cause of plaque growth in the artery wall. And the sad thing is, insulin resistance is also the cause of type 2 diabetes. So in this country right now, when someone becomes type 2 diabetic, they get treatment for a sugar problem. What we know is that it takes 20 years on average to become a type 2 diabetic. We have every opportunity in the world to find it early. I know you have been doing this for years in your clinic. We've been doing it for years.
Yes.
And if we have the chance to find out early if someone's heading towards diabetes, we can say, wow, your arteries are being beaten up by this condition. There's a lot of inflammation. So what we talk about in the book is a very simple test called glucose tolerance test. And we provide the reader with the reasons why that test is important, why a fasting blood sugar or a 3-month average called an A1C can be misleading. And so what we give the reader also the data so that they can take it to their doctor and say, I want a glucose tolerance test. That test can tell someone if they're on track towards a type 2 diabetic situation. And then, you know what? We have every opportunity for years to kick someone off that path. And that is by far and above the most common thing that drives vascular disease.
You know, I tell my patients, it's like a little stress test for your pancreas.
Yep, you're right. That's great.
I want to see,
great,
how is your pancreas working? You know, I'm going to give it a sugar load. And I also tell them it's so simple that they even do it to mothers when they're pregnant.
Oh, perfect. Yeah,
so,
that's right. That's right.
You know, if a mommy can do it when she's pregnant, why can't we do it to try to discover if we're going to go down that road?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
very, very good.
That's very, very important. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, you have a great chapter about, are you getting effective treatment? And you have what's called the cornerstones of treating atrial disease. And I think that's just, if you could briefly explain those.
Sure. So if someone has plaque in the artery wall, it's called atherosclerosis is the fancy name for that. But if someone has plaque, there are certain cornerstones that really need to be applied, regardless of why it's there. So what we want to do if someone has plaque is we want to stop the growth of that plaque, and we want to stop the activity of that plaque, and we want to protect the patient. So knowing that the plaque lives deep within the artery wall, initially there's one thing we do, and that is get people on a baby aspirin, and we want to do testing to make sure that baby aspirin is effective, because that protects against a clot or a thrombus from forming if that plaque was to misbehave and rupture through the artery wall. So aspirin is protective. And then we use a medication class called ACE inhibitors that provide oxygen to the very top layer of the artery so that the plaque as it heals cannot rupture. It's like putting a coat of armor over that plaque, and it reduces stroke risk by about 32% initially. So we really get that artery wall protected. And then underneath the artery wall, we want to stop the breakdown of cholesterol, and we want to stop the inflammation. And that's where statins are utilized. And it doesn't take high dose. It really takes moderate dose or low dose even. The utility of a statin is to stop the inflammation. People think of statins to treat cholesterol. There's much better treatment for cholesterol than statins. Statins really treat vascular inflammation. Which statin we use depends on the comorbidity of the patient. Are they male? Are they female? Do they have insulin resistance? Do they not? What genetics do they have? So we're able to choose a statin based on all of those factors. The other and really important factor that is the biggest cornerstone of all is lifestyle. So proper lifestyle to treat plaque is really guided by something called the ApoE gene, the ApoE gene is found on a chromosome, and we're going to get an allele of that gene from mom and dad. And so based on that, Betsy, we can predict how an individual is going to break down fats, carbohydrates, proteins, how their body's going to respond to alcohol intake, how their body's going to respond to exercise. So we're able to objectively give them information. And you know what? It's an eye-opener for patients because they get that information and they say, oh, my gosh, that's why I've never been able to shed weight on this diet. Or I did this diet like my neighbor did and my cholesterol got horrible and theirs got better. You know, it really takes the guesswork out of lifestyle recommendations.
Well, you know, the Baldonin method, again, the most important thing is it's personalized care. It's to the individual. I love the way you say it's not the, are you the average of a study? No, we're each individuals.
Right. And people deserve to be treated as such. None of us fit an average of anything. That's what makes us so unique. So people need to demand to be treated that way.
So on a personal note, are you having fun promoting the book?
Yes, it's been great. One of the highlights for me personally was I hosted a Women's Heart Lunch on February 22nd.
Wow.
And it was really a spectacular event. We did a red dress campaign, and everyone came in red dresses. It was in a beautiful ballroom at the Davenport Hotel in Spokane. And I had four of the women who are in the book. Camille, as we spoke about. Sue Dills is in the book, who's a professional athlete who looks on paper as if, I mean, looks in person as if there's no way she could have vascular disease. I had Julie, who had two heart attacks at the age of 37.
Yes.
And misdiagnosed twice with pneumonia. And then the fourth was Dr. Laura Lee Nygaard, who is a periodontist and
the dentist.
Who had a stroke at 37.
Oh.
I had those four women speak about their personal stories and share with this room of wonderful, wonderful women how this can happen to them. And it was a really terrific moment. That's probably been a real highlight for me because as you did with the book and you said, give it to somebody for Valentine's Day. I really wanted these women to hear this message and understand that we, as women, have unique risks and we are not treated well in the current medical system. And it was a really terrific day. So that was a real special time, and a lot of women really got a good message at that event. And the other, we've been doing a lot of book signings and have the opportunity to meet people through different shows and so forth. So it's been a wonderful reception. Thank you so much for asking about that.
I am so happy for you. You know, our time is running out here, and I just want to, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana from the Triana Prevention Center. I want to thank such a wonderful guest, Amy Doneen, ARNP, owner, medical director of the Heart Attack Stroke Prevention Center in Spokane,
WCCF,
Washington.
Florida, Port Charlotte.
Thank you, Amy.
From the Grand Air Services Studios, award-winning air conditioning, refrigeration, and appliance repair in Southwest Florida.